Facebook lost 1 million active users. Instagram adds features to Reels. Twitter testing article length post. YouTube raked in $28.8 billion in ad revenue. Snap may be working on a selfie drone. Hello and welcome to Social Media Weekly, episode 9th February 2022. Social Media Weekly is brought to you by Virtual Palace Marketing. Get your very own corporate website built from as low as $100 with Virtual Palace today. Terms and conditions apply. The platform is super easy to maintain. It comes with state-of-the-art security. Drop us an email at admin@virtualpedalers.com for a free discovery session. My name is Sean.
And I'm Jay. Hello.
Hi, Jay. Happy Chinese New Year.
Happy Chinese New Year. 新年快乐,
新年快乐. 新年快乐. So how was your New Year celebration?
My New Year celebration was fun. I mean, a lot of gambling and a lot of ang paos and a lot of food. There's the, you know, I personally, my personal favorite about Chinese New Year is the bak kwa. I mean, like, bak kwa can never go wrong.
I'm not a bak kwa person, but I am a mandarin orange person. So I've been like binging on mandarin oranges.
I think I gained a few kilos during Chinese New Year lah. I'm glad, okay. I'm glad. You know, I'm like, more weight, more weight.
That's good, that's good. More weight is better. Okay, in any
what
case,
about you? What was yours? How was your Chinese New Year?
Just hanging out with family and eat a lot of mandarin oranges.
Alright, that's good. Yeah. I think just that's basically be, it lah. During Chinese New Year, during this whole pandemic situation, just home, eat. That's it.
just trying to be safe as well. Just trying to be safe as well because, you know, the Omicron is raging everywhere. I mean, we know that it's not as bad, but it's not as bad as it was compared to Delta for most people.
Yep.
But what if you are not most people, right? So we don't know. We don't know.
Regardless,
so we just want to reduce the risk.
Regardless, everybody stay safe. And with that, we shall continue the news.
Yes, onward to the news of the week. Facebook lost 1 million daily active users. Meta posted its Q4 2021 results and it was positive almost across the board. Monthly active users rose by 2 million. So monthly active users rose by 2 million. And they generated about $33.6 billion in revenue for the same quarter. But daily active users dropped by 1 million. Whether or not it's a concern is still yet to be seen. Facebook's growth has been declining for the past few years, and this could mark the first of many upcoming declining DAUs. Alright, so now we're having this problem with Facebook. On one end, on the business end, they say, I don't care because I'm making a hell of money on ads, right?
Alright.
Monthly active users are increasing, but daily active users are reducing. So maybe that these people who are active on Facebook on a monthly basis are not active on Facebook on a daily basis. So maybe they check it out maybe once in 2 days, once in 3 days. So that is how the metrics is showing.
I mean, like, safe to say, even for me nowadays, also, I do use Facebook, but it's mainly to see, like, some certain news that pops up. Surprisingly, Facebook's news updates is actually quite good. I was quite shocked about that. But nevertheless, I kind of expected, because the thing is, they're having, the app is quite congested, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, at this point for me, it's not very pleasing. Even Instagram is slowly moving towards that direction. That's why for me, I'm more active on Twitter or either TikTok at this point, because TikTok algorithm is amazing, and Twitter, I mean, like, it's just simplistic. But I just hate the fact that they are bringing too many things into the app itself, and there's no unique selling value about every different app. The only thing that, if you want to make a business, this is the best platforms to use, but it's too congested. And if they don't fix this issue, I wouldn't be surprised. Now they just lost 1 million. Next, maybe a couple of months down the line, they probably lose another 5 million. So I think they really should address the issue as soon as possible.
I think you have a really, really big, good point there, in the sense that I think most people have this same relationship with Facebook. They don't like to use Facebook because Facebook has become a bit of a cesspool, right, of all the information they don't want to see. But they still go into Facebook because it is the best way to check on their families and friends.
All right.
So instead of going in every day and making it like kind of like a daily place for them to hang out, they just go in once in a couple of days, maybe a few times a week, just to make sure everybody's okay, everybody's still active, everybody's still going on, just check and see how everyone is coming along, especially family who are older, who tend to use Facebook more than Instagram.
Yep.
So this could be one of the contributors to the declining daily active user.
Well, maybe. I wouldn't be most, by the looks of it, there is a very high possibility as well, you know.
Yep.
Alright, with that, I bring you to the next news. Instagram adds features to Reels. The first of this new Reel feature is the ability to stitch all your story highlights into a Reels video. Although it may seem like a simple addition, I believe many users would find it incredibly useful to share their highlights collection. Perhaps they will eventually phase out highlights since it's taking a lot of screen real estate. Right now, in addition, that could come to our app. In addition, Another addition that could come to our apps is the 90-second video. Right now, TikTok has enabled 60-second videos to all users and 3 minutes length only to some. I'm kind of glad that actually they're bringing this to Reels, especially, you know, with the whole highlights. I'm not gonna lie, because you see, right now we have our picture, we have our following, we have our followers and the amount of posts that we have, and then below is our biography. So our biography probably, it might be long, and then right below that you have your highlights, and then only comes to your posts. Then you can select from which what they're gonna, whether you want to see the posts, Reels, videos. What do you think about this? I mean, for me, in this point, I think it's a good approach because it, like I remember earlier, I was just talking about like how the app feels very much congested at this point. If they start simplifying things, I think it'll be very much more better. That's my 2 cents on it.
I think what Instagram is trying to do is they are trying to move us all into Reels, right?
Yep.
So I think highlights is the kind of thing where Instagram was very reactive towards, because you have stories but you have no place to convert the stories into a collection. So they create highlights so everything is tagged into, you know, little highlights. So everything in based on the categories will be in the same place. So right now what Instagram is doing, I think, is they allow us to convert our highlights into Reels, and then they say we are phasing out highlights. No more highlights, because not many people are using it anyway. Or even if they're using it, it's not actively being used.
Yep.
Right?
It's just there.
Yeah, it's just there. Let's say, for example, there are people who, let's say, I have a highlights called gymming. So whenever I'm gymming, I'm always adding all the stories that are archived into that highlight. But there are people who have, like, maybe they had a Japan trip in 2017, let's say. So let's say you had a trip in 2017 and you put a highlight there and you never touch it ever again after that. Because it's to highlight that trip, right? So you will never touch it again ever after that. So it's that kind of stuff. And maybe if you transform everything into Reels, then you can convert your entire trip into 1 3-minute reel. Oh, sorry, one 90-second reel. So you have one video that showcase your entire trip. So that makes sense, right?
Yep. But hey, Sean, I just was thinking about this. Highlights. Would it be good for brands though? Like, if let's say
A lot of brands use highlights to showcase their, maybe what's that called, their new collection, or you know, things like that, new release, new products, product launching. They do
actually
that.
Would highlights be more efficient compared to Reels? I mean, I guess probably Reels would be better, right?
Well, the problem with Reels is if you put let's say a product launch in Reels, right, it'll be drowned among all the other Reels. Highlights is different. Highlights has this special bar that is meant just for highlights. So there is this very special reason why brands should be using highlights. But of course, on the downside is if Instagram finds that very few people are using it or very few brands are using it, then why bother, right? Let's just recycle that space and use it for something else. Maybe they can put Reels there instead.
Yeah, true. I mean, I low-key I do hope that they do not remove highlights. I kind of like highlights.
Yeah, me too.
But I mean, it is what it is, you know. Probably they might remove it, probably not. Let's just see what happens. Yeah,
yeah. I think if there's not enough people using highlights, then it doesn't make sense to, you know, have it. I mean, I use it a lot and I love it, but there are people who don't use it, so most people don't use it, so it makes sense for Instagram to just dump it.
I mean, like you said, like one of the example, like, you know, go on a trip to Japan or something. Like even for me, I went to a trip to Philippines and it's just there.
Yeah, it's just not there.
Nothing.
It hasn't been updated ever since. It's, you know, it's just there.
I do not know what to put else. Yeah. What else to put?
Right, moving on. Twitter testing article length posts. Twitter has been trying to avoid becoming a full-on blogging site for the longest time. In 2016, Jack Dorsey posted a screenshot of a lengthy post to explain why Twitter should keep its 280-character limit. Okay, this is actually very funny. I remember this time. So, a lot of people have been asking Twitter to actually increase the character limit, because a lot of people on Twitter are actually journalists and they blog a lot, right? They're bloggers or journalists and they blog a lot. And Twitter has the 140 to 280 character limit, and that was very annoying for people because they have a lot of, they start to create a lot of threats, and threats are very difficult to read. So then Jack Dorsey was trying to explain why having the 140 to 280 character limit was important, but that explanation couldn't be done within 140 to 280 characters. So what he did was, he wrote the entire explanation, I think it's about 300 words, not 300 characters, 300 to 400 words, in a notepad. He screenshot that notepad and uploaded it as a JPEG on his tweet. So it feels like...
Well played.
It feels like, I love the short number of characters, but in order to explain it, I need more than 140 characters. So I use a screenshot to explain it to you. So that was actually quite funny.
It's well played. The guy just pulled a fast one. You know what? I'm just going to do this.
Yeah. So yeah. Then what Twitter did was it bought a newsletter platform, Review, to encourage those who like to publish long posts to use Review instead, and then use Twitter to publicize that they have published a new post. Now, it appears that Twitter could finally be caving in and giving users what they want. Jane Manchin Wong, which is a renowned reverse engineer, spotted a section on Twitter's app called Articles, which allows users to create blog posts within the app. The assumption is that users can then promote these articles with a short tweet to their feeds. So, they don't have to go out of Twitter to create the blog. There's a section called Articles, and then from there, they can actually use the tweets to actually publicize these new articles. So it's still very early stages. We don't know yet how Twitter will use this feature alongside Review, whether they will use Review's technology, whether they will move the articles into Review, or, you know, whatever it is. But we will definitely report it when we find out more. So I think it's nice that Twitter is really becoming maturing into a blog, from a micro blogging to a full on blogging site.
For me, I just absolutely love what Twitter has been doing so far. I mean, from removing fleets, and then they have having their own OnlyFans sort of app as well, and now with Review. The thing is, the beauty part about Twitter, I noticed that they know where to tap, what is their niche, and they know where to tap into. You know, it's not like just simply grabbing things here and there. When, even though they did grab, like for instance, stories, which was fleets, they decided that, hey, you know what, this is not working for us, this is not our platform, and they removed it. And instead of that, they started bringing in new things. That is how I feel the other competitors should start looking into things. That is my 2 cents for it. It's my own.
The other competitors,
I love what they're doing.
The other competitors, you mean Facebook?
The other competitors. I'm Marky, how are?
Facebook and Instagram, lah. Well, I completely agree with you, because I love the idea of social media platforms that know where they are and become better at what they are meant to be, instead of Facebook and Instagram, which is trying to be everything for everyone. And that has... it's starting to backfire on them, and I think it's only about time when people start to realize that there is a certain value in Twitter, there's a certain value in Snapchat that Facebook and Instagram doesn't have, there's a certain value in TikTok, and TikTok does not try to be Twitter, Twitter does not try to be Snapchat, and, you know, it's just supposed to be like that. And I also think that it's good. I also think that it's very lucky for Twitter to have stumbled upon the NFT market and become the platform for NFT
market as well.
Yeah.
Like, ridiculous.
It has become the platform for NFT market and crypto people to actually converse and get information and things like that. And I think this is a gold mine for them. And it's they should really, really grab onto it. Like Discord as well, right? I mean, Discord was just for gamers for the longest time. Discord had a problem making money. Even their paid tier, nobody actually, you know, pays it. All of a sudden, every single NFT maker, creator, and distributor, or seller, or you know, minter and everything, started using Discord as their default chat platform. Yeah. All of a sudden, Discord become, you know, such a big hype. So yeah, you don't know.
I mean, like, hey, you know, you want to know one more thing? Guess who else is trying to copy the same like methods of NFTs for Twitter? Adam Mosseri, even he also is planning to explore in, for Instagram. So, Twitter, leave it to Twitter, please.
I mean, Facebook did say that they want to create like a platform for NFTs for trading, right? To mint and trade NFTs. So, we did report about this before. And I think what this will do for Facebook is it will make it, I guess, Facebook's challenge is to make it easy for everybody to trade NFT, because now it's actually not very easy to trade NFT.
Yep.
The risk is very high. Nobody knows what's going on. And it's still a very gray, very, very, very gray market, in a sense that a lot of people who actually buy and hold NFTs, they know how much these NFTs are worth, but they haven't actually converted it back into cash.
Correct.
So at the end of the day, you know how much it's worth, but it will be worth nothing until you convert it back to cash, right? Because if it's not cash, it's all just numbers. If you can convert it back to cash and you can use the cash to buy stuff, buy things you want, then you're actually making money from it. So everything else is just a matter of like, I know how much it's worth. That's it.
I guess the biggest question is how to liquefy it, essentially.
How to liquidate it, yeah. How to liquidate it. So I guess, from Facebook's perspective, I think their biggest challenge is to be able to ensure security. I guess some form of what's that called? Some form of guarantee that when you buy an NFT, that you know, you can convert it back into cash. Kind of like, it's like buying Bitcoin, right? Today I buy Bitcoin, and if I let it out today, you can sell it, you can liquidate it immediately.
True.
But if you say 10, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, you can't do that, because nobody wants to take up Bitcoin from you.
Yeah,
so you can't liquidate it.
People will be like, what is Bitcoin?
Yeah, exactly. So NFT will need to, you know, go through this same path, I guess.
Yep. Completely agree with you on that. They have to explore more. That's one thing for sure. And with that, next news. YouTube raked in 28.8 billion in ad revenue. Okay, a bit hard lah. I want to continue with the whole voice. Everyone thought TikTok would take a lot of attention away from YouTube, but the company's 2021 report proves otherwise. Wait for it. The reason for being its dominance lies in the amount of profit sharing with the creators. Of the 28.8 million generated last year, 55% went to the creators, making it still the highest paying video creator platform. This is not including other manners of profit for the creators, including super chats and channel memberships. And not to forget, a lot of these YouTubers like to monetize their what they have and by selling their own merch as well. I mean, like,
sponsorship, exactly, merch, and all that kind of stuff. Yeah,
ridiculous, you know, the amount of funds that actually. But one thing I kind of like YouTube, he's like that one quiet guy, like at the corner, is like, okay, I'm just gonna do my thing. And like, my guy made so much money, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, like, can't compare to Facebook, but it's still way, you know, they're still very centric of what they do.
Yeah.
At least they don't copy everybody, unlike someone. Not gonna mention names. But I really like YouTube. I'm actually quite happy for them, you know, for them to actually raise this much money as well. So yeah, what is your thoughts on this?
I think YouTube has found a very, very good niche, a very good position that cannot be toppled by anybody. Initially, they thought that they would lose out to TikTok. But in my opinion, TikTok has this one problem, which is that when you watch content, right, most of the time, the content that you get is from an account that you have never seen before.
True.
Whereas YouTube, you actually go back and watch new episodes from the same content creator now. You subscribe to content creators, you get new episodes from them, you watch them, you get updated on what's going on, and new thoughts, new reviews, new opinions, new this, new that, right? But TikTok is the kind of place where you go in, you sit down, and then you just go through the For You page, and you just go through it, just that. And if you were to really pay attention, right, the chances of you hitting, going back and watching content from the same creator is actually very slim.
Yep.
Unless what you watch, your interest is so niche, there are only a handful of content creators that actually create content based on that one, then yeah, fine, then you will, chances of you hitting the same content creator is higher. But if you're a very general kind of person, you want entertainment, you want fun, you want comedy, there's so many of them doing the same thing.
All right.
And there are so many on TikTok that are actually doing this. They're taking the same content and they're recycling it.
Yes, correct.
So you get a lot of recycled content.
If you notice that they copy a lot of other people's content, and sometimes they plagiarize the whole video.
Yeah.
They just copy and just post it onto their platform. So I see that post twice, I'm like, bro, what is this?
Yeah. And it's from a different creator, from a different account. So whereas YouTube has really matured to a point where it has become the place to get all information. So, and to me, YouTube is, and that, and then also is that the fact that they pay out 55% to all the creators.
Yes, exactly.
That's, why would anyone want to go elsewhere?
I mean, like, they are happy, you know. I feel like at this point, right, they are by the beach, they're doing their own, they're making their own money and just chilling. And like, you have Instagram and like Facebook just rushing, like, okay, what is new? Let's copy.
Yeah.
But and, so, yeah, continue, sorry.
And YouTube, if you look at TikTok is not horizontally big enough as a company to be able to have one of its entity lose money or make very little money in order for it to grow. Because like YouTube is a separate entity from Google, right?
Yep.
But YouTube's servers and everything runs on Google's server. And technically, they're sister companies. And so they definitely have a special rate on server usage, all that kind of stuff, right? So it's so much cheaper for them to do that. And then they control search as well, because Google is a search, right? And then they get to use the search real estate for a very, very cheap, if not free, absolutely no cost at all. So for that one, I think YouTube is in a very good position to really, really compete in terms of the cost as well.
YouTube, I give you props.
Yeah.
YouTube gives thumbs ups.
YouTube doing good. But as consumers, I would love to see a competitor come up and try to beat YouTube.
I think TikTok was supposed to be, but it eventually became Instagram's rival, if you think about it.
Yeah, it became a niche by itself. Yeah. All right. Last news for the week. Snap may be working on a selfie drone. A team from XDA developers recently uncovered some codes in Snapchat's app that may point to the company potentially introducing an automated drone that can be used, that can help users take selfie videos. The company had for a few times tried to purchase a company called 00 Robotics that made autonomous drones. This could be interesting, seeing as Spectacles now has a competitor in Facebook's alternative. Feels right that Snapchat is taking a step further in automated drones. Automated drones, what do you think? For ₱1,000, would you buy one?
For a selfie, I mean, like, I'm good.
A drone that you launch out, it flies alongside you and takes photos of you and takes videos of you. So it's kind of like a photographer that walks with you.
For me personally, not really a big fan of, I like taking pictures of sceneries and stuff like that. But either way, nevertheless, this is actually a good thing for especially a lot of influencers out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it will be so, you want to take a better shot, a better angle. I mean, like, it's a drone. You can I mean, like, so much things you can do with it instead of having a personal photographer, you know, if you think about it. So, but you know, for me personally, I kind of like this. The drone following you and stuff like that, it's kind of cool. But not too much, for me personally, it's a no-no lah. I guess it's,
You know who will really benefit from this? Influencer husbands. You know, okay, influencer husbands are those guys who the girls will bring out specifically as photographers only.
I know, right?
Just to take photos. So these guys have a very tough life because they just sit, they just take photos and show it to the wife, and the wife says no. Take photos again, show it to the wife says no. And they have to constantly research on how to take good photos in order to please their girlfriends and wives and all that. So with all these selfie drones, finally, the Instagram husbands can just sit down at a cafe, sip their tea, and the wives and girlfriends can just do their own stuff at the corner.
I know, right? I bet and all the husbands all sitting at home, like listening to our podcast, like, yes, that's
yes,
the way.
Yes,
finally!
Like the Braveheart, like the Braveheart scene. But yeah, so then the other issue comes is that there are a lot of places, there are a lot of tourism places actually in the world that does not allow people to fly drones. It's a no-fly zone everywhere in the world. So this could be a problem for Snapchat to maneuver as well. I don't think the technology of the drone is a problem. I don't think connection with Snapchat is a problem. I think regulation will become the biggest problem when it comes to using it. I mean, let's say, for example, if you go to the Grand Canyons, right? And you can't use that drone. And you're like, what? I want to buy it because I want to use it during in these kind of places, but I can't use it because Grand Canyon is a no-fly zone.
Oh, serious?
Yeah, there are a lot of there are a ton of tourism places that are no-fly zones.
Oh, okay, I didn't know about that. I mean, okay, I mean, so, out of all places, Grand Canyon should be a place where it's
no,
you know,
because
it's allowed.
Because why? Grand Canyon, there are a lot of planes and helicopters that fly around, the tour helicopters and planes. They don't want them crashing into each other.
Okay, I think probably in my opinion, if Snap is planning to do all of this, I mean, the best way they can counter all of this is having a limitation on their height, like how high can the drone be? You know, you have to set that limitation. That I guess should be fine. But nevertheless, it still might cause an issue as well. You know?
Yes, because as long as it's in the air, it's a flight risk, right?
Yep.
So whether it's minimized or not, if there's a zone that, you know, whatever, it's still a flight risk. So this comes back to the issue that I don't know if you keep in touch with what's going on with the 5G issue in the US. But so the 5G, the millimeter wave 5G specifically, is one type of 5G. It actually runs on the same wavelength as the aeroplane's altitude control. So So when you turn on that 5G, if you set up a tower there in the airport, let's say, or you know, whatever, it is said to interfere with the altitude control of the autopilot in the plane. I mean, just the altitude reader itself. So, you know, it'll mess with it, so the plane will not know where they are in terms of altitude, how high they are. So then it comes to this. So then they're arguing at this point where if I were to set it to like a range, right, that is only within the airport, but not high enough for the planes to fly, will it be safe? It's the same issue as well. Let's say if I were to fly a drone, which only goes up to this kind of height and this kind of range and this kind of radius, will it be safe against the helicopters? If it's yes, then it should be yes on the other side as well. But they are still arguing as to, you know, oh, what if this, what if that, what if this, what if that? So, who knows?
Actually, yeah, very similar predicaments that they're having as well. So,
yeah.
I guess I just hope they able to brainstorm or figure something out of this, like, I guess.
Yeah. All right, let's wrap it up.
All right, with that. Social Media Weekly Podcast is available at Anchor FM, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. Our full videos are available on YouTube. We post bits and clips on Instagram and Facebook.
I want to mix a bit,
to all of our international listeners, this is what we call Roja. We mix the whole thing, you know.
If you like Social Media Weekly, it would really help if you could rate and review it on a podcast feeder of your choice and on YouTube so more can discover it. Social Media Weekly is on the lookout for regular co-hosts to help us bring some more depth to the show. If you're interested, simply drop me an email at Sean, that is S-H-A-W-M, at virtualpeddlers.com. This is Social Media Weekly, episode 9th February 2022. My name is Sean.
And I'm J. Paul Singh. Last one, I'm waiting for the day when I'm gonna put in the last name, you know.
In December, like, you're gonna reduce.
In December. So stay tuned.
All right.
We are like clickbait like that, right?
See you guys next week. Bye.
Bye-bye.